You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And Dog Pound, the Browns' annual blood drive in association with Cuyahoga Community College is coming Saturday, August 1st, to a location near you in partnership with the American Red Cross. It's your chance to donate blood at one of 12 locations across northern Ohio. Donors will receive a commemorative T-shirt while supplies last. Be a part of the Browns' First and 10 movement to help make your community better. To schedule your appointment, visit ClevelandBrowns.com or the Browns mobile app or call 1-800-RED-CROSS and mention the sponsor code Browns. Segura and Wilhelm here. Quote coming across the wire from our own Jason Gibbs right now. Talk Brown safety Dante Whitner on his team being picked to finish last in the AFC North. He said, quote, "I don't think we've earned anybody's respect yet, so we don't expect it." Is that a good outlook? And what do you make of that comment?
It's a great outlook. And I think that if you asked around the locker room, are you satisfied with last year and the expectation of this year? That's the resounding result that I believe you would get from a lot of those young men. And rightfully so, they finished 0-5.
Right.
And we talked about the chip on the shoulder that they should enter this season with, the expectations they should open the season with, and the lasting impression that they left on their fan base, their coaches, themselves, their family, and so on and so forth was not being able to finish, not being able to get the job done. You know, and in some cases, making a mockery of what could have been a great season here in Cleveland.
Yeah, and I think they've got to earn it. And I think, again, what Dante Whitner is saying in his own way is the same thing as Mike Penn. Actions,
yeah,
not words.
Right.
Words into action. We are going to go out there and we're going to do it. Dante also saying, I think our offense complements our defense. We're going to win games with our defense and our offense will help. So he's happier about the offense this year. At least sounds a little bit more optimistic about it. Now, speaking of Dante Whitner and the defensive backs, I think it's, you know, as we went through, I have 27 on defense, so I've got my 8 up front. I've got 8 backers at 16, leaves me 11 defensive backs, and here's what I've got.
Are you counting Armani Bryan as 8?
I'm counting Armani Bryan as a defensive lineman.
Okay,
yep.
Gotcha. He's the 8.
He's the 8th.
All right.
At cornerback, I got Joe Hayden, Tremont Williams, Justin Gilbert, Pierre Desir, and Kaywan Williams. I think they're locks.
Yes.
The 6th cornerback spot is a little bit more interesting to me. Could it be Robert Nelson? Could it be Charles Gaines? Could it be Kendall James, who the coaches have liked? What about Brandon Stevens, who was with the Gladiators and made an impression? And also Johnson Badamosi counts there. With those 5 corners, do you really need another cover corner at your 6th corner?
You don't.
You don't.
Which is where that specialist, like Johnson
Badamosi, yep,
comes into play because he plays a specific role. He'll never be asked to cover anybody, but he'll be... He is 100% all-in special teamer, and
yep,
you need those guys. Every roster in the NFL needs and has those guys.
One of the best. Now, if they decide to go 4 safeties, I could see 7 corners with Badamosi, and then they keep a Charles Gaines. Who could they go on the practice squad? Robert Nelson could
right.
go back on the practice squad. James, everybody else is eligible for the practice squad. Safety, you've got Gippen Whitner, I think locks. I think
yes.
Jordan Poyer is a lock.
Correct.
And Ibrahim Campbell, who they draft in the 4th round, is a lock.
No need for any more than 4.
I think they like Deontay Saunders a lot.
Practice squad.
So he could go to the practice squad, or he could make the team. Right now, I have him making the team as the 5th safety.
If he makes the team as the 5th safety, he is a flat-out baller on special
teams.
He has to do that.
Yes.
And that's the conversation that, as a veteran who started my career, a former football player who started my career as a special teams player, would love to have that conversation with guys like him. You know, that no, while emphasis will be on him learning coverages and defense and learning from Poyer and Whitner and Gipp and those other guys, he's got to ball out and be extremely attentive and on every special teams play, video, and in the meeting room when Chris Tabor is speaking about the mentality and the philosophy of what he's looking for in a special teamer, because that is how he could be the 5th. How he could not be the 5th is if he's an adequate special teams player and they like him at safety, he will then make the practice squad.
Do you think if you see a situation where, let's say, they do keep 5 safeties, that is a nod to, you know, Campbell's here, obviously, succession planning, Dante Whitner, that's why you make that pick there. But do you think if you keep a guy like a Deontay Saunders, he's a baller on special teams, but also it's saying, we're not sure what our safeties are going to look like next year. You know,
yeah.
Gibson is restricted tender. Are we franchising him at over $9 million a year? Can we work out a long-term deal with him? It's interesting. And again, this is a guy we haven't seen him in pads yet. And that's also a spot that I think could be a variable. If you really like Terrell Pryor and you think you can develop him into something, you keep him. Marlon Moore stays as now your seventh, or Benjamin as your seventh receiver, but really is just a specialist.
Yes.
And so you can go with four safeties because
you're saying... But only two quarterbacks, potentially, with Pryor, if you keep Pryor.
And I think you keep two no matter what with Connor on the practice squad.
Yes, no, you keep two, but I meant with an emergency quarterback on your roster, you open up another spot in your practice squad and don't need Connor Shaw.
True. So I want to keep...
I do too. I'm just saying that's a scenario that could play out if Terrell Pryor shows value at wide receiver and a specialty package as well as playing the role of emergency quarterback.
Right, or if he could have a specialty package where they get him up and use him as a quarterback in the red zone, a slash, et cetera. A lot of options.
Wildcat.
I think that you could have there. So we both, it turns out right now, I think we're both 23-27. Yeah. Is that realistic in the NFL? Can you have that much of a disparity between your offense and your defense?
Yes, you can. You can. It's not preferred. And believe me, at the end of towards the end of training camp, when who's going to make it and who's not is... There's the who's going to make it and who's not. That's apparent probably after the second preseason game. You know, once your starters are going to get that huge chunk of that third game for us, it'll be, you know, at Tampa versus the Buccaneers with Jameis Winston. You'll know what 80% of your roster is going to look like. That last 20% is up in the air. Some of it, as it did for Isaiah Crowell, will be defined in that fourth preseason game as these young players will get an opportunity. But then what happens is the offensive coaches and the defensive coaches, and I don't mean flat out fight, like, you know, argue and so on and so forth, but they go to Pettine and Farmer and say, I got to have this guy. I want this guy because of X, Y, Z. And then Jim O'Neill would go to Pettine and Farmer and say, but so-and-so adds this value here. You know, can we do this with him? And it's that the push and pull on that last 20% of the roster, which is, you know, say the last nine spots. And we say, so it'll be the fourth inside linebacker, the fourth or fifth outside linebacker, that eighth or that seventh offensive lineman, the eighth defensive lineman, that guy, that push and pull is what happens to make up that last bit of the roster. And what's very interesting this year for the Cleveland Browns is all of that has to play out very quickly because of the Ray Farmer suspension.
Right, you've got to have all those moves made, and now they're going to have Billy Kuharik here, who was a former general manager, Morocco Brown, considering a rising star in the personnel world. They'll have those guys here, but yes, you want to have that set, because last year they made a lot of changes in those first 4 weeks at the bottom of their roster, so it's going to be interesting if that continues, even if Ray Farmer is not able to be the one making those moves.
Sure, and one other great point, you know, for that bottom 20% of the roster, is they're going to do everything they can to get to 53, you know, by the deadline that Saturday evening after that final preseason game on Thursday. They're going to do everything they can to get 53 to 2 to comply with the NFL rules.
Of course.
But when you make that 53 as a player, there is still a lot of – because you have about 11 days between that Saturday and the following Sunday, you know, to play, or what 8 days. There's a lot of push and pull by the Wednesday of that week. Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer or Billy Kuharik – will have that team will be set to take the field in preparation for the New York Jets. That's the 53 that will actually be and make up the Cleveland Browns.
And you see at that time too, other teams cut good players.
They do.
So you're never safe.
No.
Until you are safe.
Once you're on that plane. Once you're in a uniform, you know, on that foot, walking out for warmups, then you know you're safe.
And that's when it will be. All right, we're going to take our final break right now. When we come back, we're going to get into some mailbag questions for you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.